Good morning and welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. We're so thankful that you have chosen to worship our risen Savior here this morning with us. Just before we continue our time of worship, if we could just take note of a couple announcements. You'll notice there's a calendar in your bulletin. Am I on here, Tom? Okay. If you'll notice there's a calendar in your bulletin, and on the back of your calendar, there's some neat information and neat did-you-know facts, just some different things about the ministries and the goings-on here at Trinity. Also, you'll notice a I Am Thankful card. Beginning next week, we're going to start a new series titled Reasons for Thankfulness, and we would encourage everyone to fill that out and put it in the offering plate so then we can utilize these for the bulletin board out there. I'm a firm believer that we all have so much to be thankful for, and too oftentimes we take many things for granted and this is a great opportunity just to recognize how much we have to be thankful for. This week, I know we're a week early, but we have the sign-up sheet for Western Avenue going around, and the reason it's a week early is the Sunday school class for the 4th and 5th and 6th graders are going to be going up and serving that meal, and the adults who are going to be chaperoning them would like an extra week to prepare. And so if you would, fill that out and bring in the items that you sign up for and basically get those in here, and we would be greatly appreciative of that. On the back of your bulletin, just notice the goings-on here at Trinity. And I would like to say with much gratitude, thank you to everyone for last Sunday. And I truly am blessed to be a part of the Trinity family here. And it totally caught me off guard and was much, you know, thank you guys. So with that, let's bow our heads in our hearts and go before the Lord in a time of prayer here. Father God, we humbly come to you, Lord, to just thank you for this morning. Jesus, we thank you for being the God that you are. We thank you for bringing us all here, and we just ask that you would just send your Holy Spirit, that you might minister to our hearts, fill our souls with your love, and may we just commune with you this morning. We ask you to just sanctify this time, consecrate this time, use it for your glory. Draw us close to you, we pray. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you'll do this day, and we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray.
Before worship, can we stand and greet one another, find someone across the room who you normally don't talk to, and ask them how their week was.
Morning.
Didn't want to have to put it down, shake it. Yeah, exactly. This is technically Chris's, and it's been stashed away for the longest time, no one using it. I think maybe just because it's a 12 string with only 6 strings on it. But you know what? I can play it like an actual guitar, and it's electroacoustic. So I was like, yeah. So, yeah, they do. It sounds a little weird to solo with a 12 string though, so if I had a 6 string backup, I definitely would. But, yeah. Huh?
Thank you. could please stay standing and join me in some wonderful worship for our Lord.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow. Just to we
forth for our offering as I play some light music.
Would you pray with me? Bow your heads and your hearts, please. Precious Lord, we come to you this morning just to thank you for today. We thank you for giving us another day and for what you mean to all of us. Father, I thank you for just bringing us all here. Lord, you have blessed us so much. You have given us so tremendously from who you are and not just what you possess. We ask you that you would just bless this offering, use it to nourish the world with your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. May you expand your kingdom through it. Lord, we offer a portion back to you of what you've given to us. And so, Jesus, we just come to you now. And as we turn our hearts towards your word, we pray that you would be magnified, you would be glorified. And Jesus, I especially ask that the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth would be acceptable in your sight. So, Lord, send your spirit to whisk in and out the aisles, in and out the pews, that you might be honored and glorified, and you might reign in all glory. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Junior worship is now dismissed for those in kindergarten through sixth grade. We have a special ministry for those. And basically, you can go to junior worship. If you are visiting and you have children, please feel free to see where they're at and then come back and join us here this morning. This morning, we're concluding a series called The ABCs of Following Jesus. And this morning we are going to find ourselves in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John. It's the vine and the branches passage. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He is talking to them right before everything else is going to unfold, his crucifixion and his resurrection. And so if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the 15th chapter of John. We will be looking at verses 4 through 11. And I just want to just forewarn all of us that what I'm going to speak about here this morning will be the most difficult thing that any believer will ever have to do. It will be the most difficult thing for all believers. And we all have a choice each and every day as to whether or not we're going to heed the commands of Christ or if we're going to live in our own strength, in our own power, in our own ability. And so if you have your Bibles opened, follow along with me as I read, beginning in verse 4 of chapter 15. Jesus says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You see, we all live in this world that clamors for attention, this world that seeks to get our focus from onto anything other than what it should be on. We have this world, the hindrances, and the noise of life. And what I mean by the noise of life is the distractions, the things that need our attention, the different focuses, the tasks that need to be done, the places that need to go, the people that we need to see, and the things that we need to do. As I mentioned before, this will be the most difficult thing that a Christian does. You see, this is the first command that Jesus gives in this chapter. There's two. A couple weeks ago, we looked at the second one. And the second one was to love one another. And this is a command that Jesus says, abide in me. This morning, I want to paint a picture for us to show us what true abiding is. Then I want to turn to the scriptures and show us a biblical portrait of what abiding looks like. And then I want to present three different products or three different results that when we abide in Christ, these things are produced in our life. And so the question that we all have to answer in each of our lives is, are we going to live according to the tyranny of the urgent? Meaning, are we going to run here and there? Are we going to do these things and hurry up and get this stuff done and live out of our own strength? Or are we going to cease striving and abide? That's the question that's before us. The question that all of us have to answer, are we going to live in our own strength, or are we going to abide in Christ? So what is abiding? What is Jesus meaning when he says, abide in me and I in you? Meno, in the Greek, it means to stay, to abide, to live, to dwell. It means to last, to endure, to continue, to wait for, or to await. It means to remain where something is, to continue in a fixed state. It means to endure in an unbroken communion with Jesus Christ in the fullest, the deepest, the most complete sense. If we are to continue, if we are to remain and abide in Christ, we must truly keep fellowship with Christ so that his life can work in us first and then through us, to produce what he wants to produce in our lives. I want to challenge all of us to think of abiding as living out of. You see, we all live out of something in our lives. We can live out of our own strength, our own abilities, our own talents, our own characteristics. Or we can live out of our own relationship with Christ. We can live out of our relationship with Jesus. You see, when we abide in Christ and we sit as his feet, and we allow him to flood our souls, and we allow him to fill us with his mercy, his grace, his love, and his peace, then we operate in a different way. We don't operate in our own tendencies. We don't operate in our own abilities. And so we operate out of our love and relationship for Christ. True abiding involves scripture and confession or prayer. It also involves obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. And true abiding demands worship. It demands meditation on God's word and prayer and service and sacrifice. But what does it look like to truly abide? I want to give us two pictures of what true biblical abiding looks like. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 33, John the Baptist says, I myself did not know him, meaning Jesus, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, and abide, and continue. Meaning when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, the heavens were torn open, the Holy Spirit descended like a dove and rested on Jesus. And all the days of his life that he walked this earth, the Holy Spirit never left Jesus. I want us to understand that. because God is not changing. God is immutable. He is not going to change. And so when Jesus says, abide in me and I in you, we all that have professed faith in Christ, we all have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, we know that God is abiding in us. That's a promise that we can take to the bank every single day. We don't have to worry about that. The question that needs to be answered is, at what level are we going to be willing to abide in Christ? Because as God sent the Holy Spirit to rest, to dwell, to live with Jesus Christ all the days of his life, and to abide upon him, so too God has given you and I his Holy Spirit to abide in us. The second picture that I want to show us of abiding is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Many of us will recognize this as Mary and Martha. And the scripture says this, now as they went on their way, he, meaning Jesus and his disciples, entered a village, and a woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good portion, which shall not be taken away from her. So you have two people. You have a devoted person, Mary, and you have a distracted person, Martha, always focused on the cares of the world, focused on what has to be done, and you have Mary. And tell me if this is not a picture of some of us where we're at, even in this day, where we're so focused on what has to be done that we're oblivious to sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing his wisdom, hearing his teaching, hearing what he wants to share with you so that we will be more effective and more productive in what he is asking us to do. Friends, we need to be more like Mary and less like Martha. Abiding, it provides three things in our lives. We're going to look at verse 4, verse 7, and verse 9. In verse 4, Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. True biblical abiding, friends, provides the source for life. Hear that. True abiding provides the source for life. Part of this life is the source of nutrition. We all need food and water to live and to breathe. We all need air. And Jesus himself said that he is the bread of life. He also said that he was the living water, and those of us who drink of his living water will have streams of living water flowing from within our heart. You see, Jesus is our source. And when we fail to abide, we cut ourselves off from the very sustenance that God wants to give to us, the sustenance of uplifting us and not allowing us to carry the burdens that we need to carry, but allowing him to give us that strength to take another step, to give us that courage to press on, to give us that wisdom to know how to do what he is asking us to do. Abiding provides the source of the spiritual life. Notice this. For years I was perplexed why Jesus would pray. Why on earth would the Son of God, who is equal to God, he was God incarnate, would he have to go and pray? Why would he have to recognize what the Father is doing so that he could go do it? We're told in Matthew 11:29, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. See, Jesus commands us to learn from him. He came here to this earth to pattern for you and I the type of spiritual life he wants you and I to live. He modeled for us how we're to depend upon God the Father. He lived a life of what he expects of you and I. You see, God the Father planted the vine, Jesus, and he appointed Jesus to assume the holy human nature and introduce into this world the principle of spiritual life with all its fruitful and blessed results. You see, Jesus prayed. He went to the mountain. He wept over Jerusalem. He wept over the loss of those individuals when they lost a loved one. Jesus related to people because he abided with the Father. He also said that he only did what he saw the Father do. And he said the Son, meaning himself, also does in like manner. And so when we abide, friends, we are not walking in our own agenda. We're not walking in our own desires. We are truly walking in the way that God wants us to walk. We are doing what God wants us to do. And true biblical abiding is allowing Christ to work through us. And sometimes that causes us to be forced to do things we don't want to do, because it's not all fun. It led Jesus to the cross. But the fruitfulness out of it all is blessed and it's bountiful. Jesus furthermore said that his food was to do the will of him, meaning God the Father, who sent him. So the source of our nutrition for life, the source of the spiritual life, but it's also the source of this dependency. You see, Jesus is superior and we are inferior. We need to be dependent upon Christ. God is unchanging and will continue to abide in all of us. And sometimes we reverse it. And we say, Jesus, we're superior, you're inferior. And how do we say this? We may not verbalize this, but our mere choices, our mere actions make a statement about what we truly believe. How we interact with people, how we relate to people. We need to be dependent upon Christ. We need to truly abide in Jesus. Jesus is not dependent upon us. And when we abide in this type of dependency, the life which naturally is Christ's becomes yours and mine. Through our union by faith with him. Hear that again. The life which is naturally Jesus's becomes your life and my life through your union and my union by faith in Christ alone. And what does that mean? That means that you and I, we weren't meant to carry the burdens of this world. We weren't meant to deal with the difficulties and the tasks and the hardships. And when we abide, we have that peace, we have that rest, we have that ability to say, I can just do one more day. You and I, we weren't meant to deal with all the problems of the world. And sometimes we find ourselves at a loss as to the wisdom of the choices that we need to make. And when we abide, it's giving us the mind of Christ that we know things that oftentimes we don't know, but yet God impresses them on us. And it is him who gives us that life. The second thing that true abiding provides is its purpose in life. And when we truly abide, in verse 7, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. I can't tell you the countless individuals I've talked to, and they say things like, I don't even know why I'm here. I don't understand why God has me here. And I say, what a sad cry and shame, because as long as you and I are on this earth, God has a purpose for you. God has a purpose for all of us. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. A purpose of serving Jesus. On earth, the vine, meaning Jesus, reveals itself. Now listen to this. In the branches. So part of your purpose in serving Christ is to reflect Jesus to a fallen world. You see, the vine doesn't reveal himself as the vine. It's the branches that does all that. When we look at a plant, we don't look at the root. We look at the branches. And so the world is looking at the branches. The world is looking at you and I when we serve Christ and how we serve Jesus and what we do and how we do it. And so part of our purpose is serving Jesus. And part of our purpose is obeying. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Abiding means to heed the utterances of Christ. Allowing God's word to abide or resonate deep within our soul. And when it resonates deep within our soul, then we will heed the utterances of Christ. And the last part of this purpose is aligning your life and my life to God's will for you and for me. You see, when Jesus is teaching, when it abides in us, it will ultimately, and when we truly abide in him, it will control our thoughts and ideas, and it will remain our guide and our inspiration for life. Are you getting a picture? Jesus' commands, his words, his teaching, when it abides deep within us, it will control our thoughts. It will control our ideas. And not only does it control our thoughts and ideas, but it remains your guide, my guide, your inspiration, and mine. You see, these words, these commands of Christ, they become a dynamic force in your life, in my life, taking ultimately complete control over you and over me, so that what you and I believe, then we start to act accordingly. And friends, that is true abiding, because then we are living out of our relationship with Christ, because it's God's word that is directing our paths. It's not our own wants or agendas or desires or yearnings. It's God living through us. The last thing that true abiding provides is fulfillment in life. Verse 9, Jesus says, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love." Fulfillment. There are so many unfulfilled people in this life. They search for things in other areas that will never provide the lasting fulfillment, the lasting joy. And yet Jesus says, "As the Father loved me," he's saying, "Hey, I have loved you. Understand and realize your fulfillment in your identity. Your identity as being a child of God. Your identity as being adopted into God's family." That identity, friends, should promote and provide fulfillment to you and to me, because it provides a grounding and a basis for which we can operate our lives out of. And it's that grounding and that basis that is all rooted in abiding in Christ. It's that fulfillment of knowing that God loved you and he loved me, and we have an identity that we once didn't have. But it goes beyond that. It's fulfillment in our security. You see, once we have been adopted into the family of God, there is nothing anybody can do to take that adoption away. You have been grafted in. And Jesus puts it this way in John 10, 27 through 29. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand." Get that picture? You're in the hand of Christ. And who can take you or me out of Jesus' hand? No one. We can choose to walk out. We can choose to not abide. That does not change your identity, friends, but what it does change is it changes how well you realize and understand the promises of abiding in Christ, that what they promote and provide. And then Jesus goes on, he says, "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." So fulfillment in your identity as a child of God, and fulfillment in your understanding that you are secure in your relationship with the Lord. There's nothing that can change that. We can choose to walk away. But God never walks from you. But it's also fulfillment in our love for ourselves and our love for others. The Apostle John, he says, records that Jesus said that he chose you and I out of the world. Meaning, we didn't choose him. Jesus chose you. And it's that fulfillment of our love for ourselves, knowing that you are so loved, you are so chosen, that Jesus chose you out of this world. And then ultimately, it's out of this abiding in our relationship with Christ that love for others goes forth. And always remember this, our relationship with the Lord affects our relationship with others. It has to go that way. How we relate to God, the level that we decide to abide in the Lord, will determine how we relate to others. This morning, I close with a story. When Queen Victoria reigned in England, she would occasionally visit some of the humble cottages of her subjects. One time, she entered the home of a widow and enjoyed a brief period of Christian fellowship. The poor woman was later taunted by her worldly neighbors. "Granny," they said, "who's the most honored guest you've ever entertained in your home?" they expected her to say it was Jesus. For despite their constant ridicule of her Christian witness, they recognized her deep spirituality. But to their surprise, she answered, "The most honored guest I've ever entertained is Her Majesty the Queen." "Did you say the Queen? Ah, we caught you this time. How about this Jesus you're always talking about? Isn't he your most honored guest?" Her answer was definite and scriptural. "No, indeed, he's not a guest. He lives here." Friends, that's a simple little story. But the question for all of us is, there's no doubt that Jesus lives in your heart. But have we invited Christ to live in our daily life? Have we invited Christ to live in those areas of our life that we sometimes hold back? Have we invited Christ to dwell intimately with you and I? Have we invited Christ to live in all aspects of our life? And if we have, then you understand how we can cease striving and abide. That's our challenge. May we all seek to abide in the love of Jesus. May we all seek to allow Jesus to fully abide in us. And may we all seek to dwell with the Lord Christ and make him a regular resident each and every day of our lives.
Sunday morning Christian. I'm not going to be a what I call a lazy boy Christian. Lazy boy Christian. I'll worship you on Sundays, and then I'll worship you the rest of the week from the comfort of my lazy boy. It says, "I will rise when he calls my name." This is a commitment that I will rise. I will get up off my butt and do whatever you call me to do. So please stand and sing this with me. And remember, it's not just words, it's not just a song.
Thank you.
As we go, may the Lord, who has said that he will abide in you in an unbroken, unhindered fellowship and communion deep within your soul, may he be the God that you and I truly decide and choose to abide with him each and every day. May we invite Jesus into our life, each and every waking moment of it, and may we truly experience his goodness and his grace. May you all go in his blessedness and in his peace. God be with you. Thank you.